Good morning. We are back. Flew solo on Wednesday, reviewed Trump's Agenda 47, and we are back here again. Sunday morning coffee. Good morning. Oh, that's hot. I got my death wish with my favorite coffee mug here with me this morning. Hopefully everyone's had a good weekend. It is Sunday. Old lady was sick, so a little bit of a laid-back weekend for me, but hopefully all you guys had a really, really good weekend. We're going to talk about imaginary struggles and kind of some of the stuff that I've been thinking about lately, as I usually kind of do in these Sunday podcasts. So I appreciate all you guys being with me as I ramble through these these podcasts, specifically on Sunday. But hopefully the sound of my voice and some of the themes I would talk about kind of make your Sunday a little bit better. So one more time, good morning. And if you are anywhere else, or if you're listening to this, that is a time that is not Sunday morning, which would be live. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're doing absolutely fantastic. Good morning, B. Good to see my brother, B. Cornish, here in the chat already. But anyways, won't keep you guys too much longer here. Make sure you hit all the links below. If I were you, I would head over to tigerfitness.com. Get your cart ready, because next weekend, I guarantee you, they're going to have a fantastic Labor Day sale. So if you need to get the supplements, get you all jacked and tan, you could do that there. Go to foxandsonscoffee.com, use code Kyle at checkout, and deemed fit through the link below, which should apply the discount already. But if not, use code Sarah Matovic, all one word, at checkout to let them know that the Matovic family had sent you. We would really appreciate that. But yeah, without further ado, let's get right into it. One more time, good morning. I got my Black Label Society Scully mug. I know I've talked about this before, but I was so distraught. I think it was because I was stupid and I put the damn thing in the dishwasher, and it started to crack because of the heat. This thing looks like it'd be like a really thick and like hardcore mug, but if you look on the inside of it, it's actually pretty thin. So you got to be careful with that. One more time, good morning. Hopefully everybody's doing well. A little bit of a laid back weekend for me. Feeling okay. Hopefully the audio system's going to behave today, but Post Zero is going to be on Jack's channel. So make sure you go check that out after this podcast. Good morning, Serio. Good to see you. Hope you're doing well. Make sure you become a channel member as well. I'm still trying to build that up. I should plug that more often, but I don't. Got some cool guests lined up in the coming weeks. But I wanted to hop on here and kind of talk about the sort of the themes, the psychological themes that I've been kind of tapping on in the last couple weeks, where as the political season ramps up and up and up, man, just the hysteria. It is, I don't want to say it's too much for me, but it is almost too much for me, because I'm watching the way people are acting and people are just like losing their minds. I feel like we're having the same conversation we were 8 years ago. And we're acting like nothing has changed in that time, although the whole world is just completely different. But like, you know, when we listen to Donald Trump talk or Kamala talk or even Joe Biden talk, it's like we're hearing the same talking points we were hearing back in 2016. But they're trying to do it all again in 2020. And even people who are like outside of this whole establishment, libertarians, dissident right wingers, it's like we're all still just expected to just, oh yeah, hey, here, Trump said he's going to release the JFK files. Here, take this. Well, he said he's going to do that the first time and then he didn't do it. We're still talking about a fucking, what the Charlottesville? Like, give me a fucking break. Nobody cares about a couple assholes with tiki torches who had no serious power over anything or anybody. It's very, very bizarre to me. Yeah. And good morning, Dad. Hopefully you're doing well as well. Already sick of hearing about nothing really changes. Yeah. Well, you know, my dad and I were talking too, and I wanted to talk about this a little bit today, but it seems like 2020, our supply chains got so fucked up and just never recovered. Literally, it doesn't even seem like there's like an honest attempt to recover it. So perhaps a little bit of a peek into my personal life, and not like that personal, but my old man and I had went out to Harbor Freight to get a new toolbox because the one I have at work is about 10 years old. It's pretty beat up. Some of the drawer sliders, so basically the things that hold the weight of the drawer and allow it to slide in and out. I have a couple drawers that are broke, and they're mainly the ones I use the most. So like where all my sockets are, and then the one where all like my guns, like the air guns and electric guns are. And that one was a little bit my fault, mea culpa, did not help that one. But we go to Harbor Freight and we pick up a box, and it wasn't cheap. I mean, it was a decent chunk of change. And I figured, okay, well, you know, we spent a decent bit of money on it. It can't be that long, you know, probably a couple of days, and they'll get the toolbox in, they'll call us, we'll go get it. And then my thought was, we bought it on the 18th. I figured, okay, this yesterday, right? If you're listening to this live, it's August 25th. I figured August 24th, we'd be taking the toolbox into my work. I call him a couple of days later, just like, hey, you know, hey, what's going on? How long is it going to be to get the toolbox? And the people on the phone said, all right, well, it'll be here. We get our next truck on August 27th. I'm like, it takes like a week to get like stuff. You guys like a tool supplier. Like, why would it be like a week and a half? I mean, it was literally, it would have been 9 days from when we ordered the toolbox to when their truck gets here. I don't like, once again, if you spend money, you think they would just like ship the fucking thing and then it would be there and then you'd be able to go get it as soon as possible and then get it there. No, not the way it works at all. And like, maybe I'm missing something here, but to me, that's just a little ridiculous. If you're paying a shitload of money for something, they should be like, hey, yeah, let's get this to you as fast as possible. Anyways, so I get that answer, and then I finally get an email back because I emailed their help people, and I wasn't even like a dick about it. I'm like, hey, you know, it was a good customer experience. Everything's cool, right? So I emailed their customer helpline and gave them the receipt number and all this stuff and said, hey, you know, customer experience is great. Let me know when I can expect to see the toolbox. And then, so I told you guys earlier that we ordered the 18th and they said, hey, our truck's going to be here the 27th and the 30th. That's when the toolbox should be there. Okay, no problem. So I get an email a couple of days later and they say, oh no, we're expecting to see your toolbox on September 16th, almost a whole month after we purchased the damn thing. We're expecting to get it. I'm like, well, son of a bitch. Is it going to take almost a month to get a damn toolbox in? Like, what the hell is going on here? But I mean, and we even see this beyond just like going to the tool store and trying to buy stuff. When it comes to like GM parts, we have to like overnight stuff, which basically means like you pay additional to get the shit from like I had the one factory for GMs in like Lansing, Michigan. There's one in Virginia, I think. And then obviously like different dealerships may have like a wholesale parts department, or they may have like a parts warehouse. That's generally where like you get a lot of car parts from. So now it's like, oh yeah, well, you have to overnight if you want to get the next day. Either that, it's going to be like 2-3 days, sometimes up to like a week. Sometimes you have no fucking clue when you're getting the damn thing. Ever since 2020, everything has been fucked up. And the United Auto Workers strike, that fucked everything up. And now I'm sure this strike, because Donald Trump and Elon Musk upset some fucking union leftist feelings, that now they're going to jam up, you know, the parts supply chain disruptions up our ass now again, too. I mean, it is like beyond outrageous. If we're supposed to be here to help customers, and like, if you ask me, if you're making parts, if you are fixing vehicles, your goal is to kind of make sure that the customer gets their vehicle in, diagnosed, repaired as quick as possible. What the fuck are we doing going on strike and then holding up that from happening? I understand you're upset that you're not getting paid and you don't have a bidet in your work toilet, and you know, maybe the sink that you wash your hands in isn't the most clean. But like at the end of the day, we're still here to do a fucking job. And this is way off topic, but like, this is not an imaginary fight. This kind of is, this is a real fight. Like, we're here to fix people's vehicles, diagnose them, take care of the customer, and get them back on the road so that way they can continue to make our society function. Like, really, auto mechanics and a lot of blue collar people make sure that we can continue to do what we do. Like, the reason why I can do this right here, why I can poke this camera, turn on this light, put up, you know, these fancy lights behind me, play my guitars, which I did just get a new one. The reason why we can do all this shit is because blue collar people wake up early in the morning, They go to work no matter what. And there's something really beautiful about this. I remember on, I want to say it was Christmas Eve, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And I saw people standing on scaffolding outside of the theater, which is like a couple blocks away from me. It was Christmas Eve. It was cold as fuck. And there's people standing on the scaffolding, making sure shit works. I'm like, that is how our society fucking runs, is that those people go to work. I go to work. My dad in the comments goes to work. B Cornish goes to work. We all go to work. And make sure that, okay, I turn the wrench this way, diagnose the vehicle this way. That person goes to the power line. They fix a fuse. You know, the truckers drive back and forth to factories to make sure the entire world works. And then these people who sit in comfy office jobs or even like somewhat difficult union jobs. So I'm not saying they're not difficult, but like, you guys got it pretty fucking good. Let's be honest. You get 4 weeks paid vacation, probably. Your whole family's covered. You got a pension. Your life is pretty fucking good. The least thing you can do is make sure my life, which is ostensibly probably worse than yours, and not like, I'm not living that bad, but like, ostensibly my life is not as good as yours as a union worker. The least thing you can do is make sure my life doesn't fucking suck because you don't have a fucking golden bidet in your fucking break room. So yeah, I just, that shit drives me nuts. But that is largely how our society functions. Yeah, so the one thing I should tell people, I had a 7-string PRS, and Paul Reed Smith is my now second favorite guitar company. My favorite is Jericho now, and those are the main ones that I play with. But they came up, PRS released these Swamp Ash Paul Reed Smith guitars, and they use like this beautiful wood with it. So sorry for the people listening, go over to YouTube and make sure you subscribe and become a member for $2.99 a month. I'd appreciate that. But they make these Swamp Ash guitars, and as soon as I saw them, I fell in love instantly. So this is it right here. It looks blue, but it's actually like black and white. So I'm going to start gigging out with this thing because I absolutely love Paul Reed Smith's. And I refuse to have this thing sit in my house and not get played. Like, that is just, I mean, that's not beautiful. And I'm a huge Paul Reed Smith guy. The nice thing is, and you guys can tell me if you want me to start doing like guitar reviews. I'm thinking about doing that because I have lots of content just kind of all over. Obviously, the podcast, stuff like that, some health and fitness stuff, as well as like the X3 reviews, which seem to actually do pretty good for me. But I'm thinking about branching out and doing like guitar reviews. So now that that's out of the way, and now that I ranted about supply chains and how frustrating it is that cushy job people generally make our lives worse off, imaginary struggles. We always see this in the political realm, and I understand why people do it, because if you can get people anxious, worked up, and paying attention, then you are now essentially taking their time, which what I'm doing right now is I'm asking you for your time. Right. I've been streaming for a little over 13 minutes now. I'm asking you to pay attention to me because I want to have you here, buy a membership, buy the supplements from the links below, or subscribe so I can grow the channel and become famous and become this awesome grifter where I can go on all the big podcasts and tell everybody the talking points that they want to hear, even though I'm not going to do that. But point is, I'm asking you for your time so that way you could pay attention to me and make my life better, and not necessarily make your life worse. Hopefully I make your life better, or at least provide you some kind of entertainment. There's not much I could do to really make your life better. That's on you. But if I get you anxious about something, which is what a lot of politicians do, and a lot of, you know, media commentators, personalities, whatever, this is a lot what they're focused on, is to make you anxious so that way you continue to come back, right? If Tim Pool yells at you that there's going to be a civil war tomorrow, then you'll continue to click on his content for updates, right? Let me take a sip of the coffee. Just black this morning. I was thinking about putting creamer in, but I'm like, nah, man, let's do it raw. But anyways, if Tim Pool can convince you that there's civil war, they're going to keep clicking for updates. and of course, if I can convince you that there's civil war, you need to be prepared for power outages. There's power outages, then you need, you know, basically food that you could eat without having to heat it up or do anything like that, right? So therefore, you need a giant food bucket. You need a 20-year food supply. Oh, my man. I appreciate it, B. But so if I can convince you that there's a civil war, then you can get a food bucket that costs you thousands of dollars. Like, I've seen the prices of some of these food buckets. They're outrageous. They sell these motherfuckers at Costco. It's like a couple hundred bucks to fucking to fucking have a food bucket that you're probably never going to use. Because let's face it, I have said it so many fucking times that as long as you can go get a Dairy Queen Blizzard, you can go bust a load by watching porn and drink a High Noon or a beer or something like that, then there will be no civil war. People aren't going to rebel. People, you know, we could say there was an insurrection, but was it really? A bunch of people went to the Capitol and then farted on the desk. Like, and we're still talking about that. I mean, that really goes to the theme of the show. That is a completely an imaginary battle. To say there was some kind of insurrection on January 6th. Are you fucking kidding me? Those people went in there. They had no guns. They had no plan. They went in there because the police fucking let them in there. And this is the fucking imaginary fight that the Democrats have stirred up, is to tell you, hey, you need to vote for Kamala Harris because she's going to save democracy, because she's telling you that January 6th was an insurrection. And if you just vote for her, then January 6th will never happen again. We need to save democracy, which I am a little bit annoyed with how many people are saying Kamala Harris never got a single vote. How democratic. They've rigged their presidential selection process over the last three fucking elections. This is nothing new. This has been going on for fucking 8 years, three presidential cycles in a row. They did this. Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, and now Kamala Harris. Do you guys really mean to tell me you expected that this would go any other way? That they weren't just going to fucking throw in who they thought was going to, you know, execute the Democratic establishment's agenda? Did you really think that that was not going to happen this time? Did you really think RFK had a chance? Because I didn't. I know my audience is smart enough to know that the Democrats are going to do what the fuck the Democrats are going to do. There is no populist uprising amongst the Democratic establishment to overthrow them and then fucking change the ruling here. Like, that you're living in fantasy land if you think that's going to happen. And you know, Godspeed to the people that do. Like, there, it takes no intellectual energy to kind of assess the Democratic landscape, and that's why I generally don't talk about Democrats so much. I mean, I am a lot in this podcast, but it's so ridiculous to me when you hear people still like shocked that they're doing stuff like this. But once again, this goes back to the idea of an imaginary battle where if the Democrats can sell you on January 6th, then they can sell you on anything, right? If you were that gullible to believe that a bunch of fucking redneck Trump supporters who are my neighbors and people that I know, I mean, people that have been on this show were at fucking January 6th, and now the FBI is going to their fucking houses, that's not an imaginary battle. But if I tell you that January 6th is an insurrection, then fuck yeah. Yeah, you believe democracy's on the fucking ballot. And this also goes to the abortion topic, which for those who don't know, I am pro-life. I think I've done a couple podcasts on it, and it's been a little bit since I've talked about it. But I am pro-life because I do believe that people are responsible for the consequences of their actions. And if you consent to have sex with somebody, then that is by extension consent to having a child, because there isn't a single adult in the world that doesn't know what that could potentially lead to. Now, if you tell women that their bodily autonomy is on the ballot, which is what they do every single midterm, every single election you could possibly think of, they're telling people democracy is on the ballot, your autonomy is on the ballot, so therefore you need to vote for Democrats. Now you have a battle. Now you have a call to action. What's that call to action? Vote D. And you know what? I'm not going to spare Republicans either on this, because what have we heard? China, 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 China. China's taking your jobs. The immigrants are taking your jobs, which we could debate that. But let's kind of stick to the theme of the show here. If I can tell you that China is taking all our jobs and that immigrants are coming over the border and, you know, doing all this horrible stuff, which isn't entirely wrong, then that gives you anxiety. And then the solution is vote for Trump, because all your problems are going to go away. And I threw out a tweet this morning and a lot of people seem to like it. But I think a lot of people are going to be really upset when you go to the ballot box in November and you vote for your chosen candidate and your life still sucks afterwards. Because what you tend to find is that voting for somebody who lives hundreds of miles away from you, who doesn't know your name and who doesn't really care about you, even if they're in your locale, They may not know who you are. They don't really give a fuck about you. I know, shocker. Politicians don't care. Like when you go into the strip club and you handle a nice pretty lady with a nice, you know, set of tits, a whole bunch of ones, she doesn't really care about you. I know this may be breaking news to a lot of you, but people really don't care about other people that much unless they know them, have some kind of interaction with them, have some kind of relation to them, or some kind of immediate consequence with pertaining to this person. They don't really care. So when you go to the ballot box in November, I think this is something important to remember, because right now we're hearing it from every single direction that, oh my God, this is the most important election of our lifetimes, right? We hear that every 4 years. And you know what? It's not entirely wrong.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
But it's like a useless platitude because what are you going to do? You go and vote and then not really changes. You know, on my birthday's November 6th, which it's kind of funny because every 4 years I can almost like celebrate a birthday in peace because everybody's sparking out about the elections. I'm sure a ton of people are going to remove me because I'm not voting this year. I hate everybody. That's my politics this year. It's just, I fucking hate all of you. But people are largely going to leave me alone because in 2 days it's going to be, oh, if you don't vote for Trump, you're a communist. If you're, if you don't vote for Kamala, then you're a fascist. I'm just going to enjoy because once again, 4:30 the next morning, I'm going to wake up. My buddy right here, where is he? Dude, me and him are still going to go for a walk. I'm still going to make my coffee. As soon as I get back from that walk, I'm going to take a shower and I'm going to go to work. You listening to this podcast, you're going to wake up in the morning. Maybe you showered last night. You scrubbed your balls. Guess what? You're still going to go to work. What you just said is 100% true. That's why there's better value in dealing with local than buying from Amazon or taking your business to a mass merchandiser. I know my clients. Yeah, and exactly. And if you fuck over your clients, there's a consequence for that. And if I fuck over the people that I'm working on their car, which we all do unintentionally, but sometimes shit happens. There's a consequence for that. You know that person. They could talk to you. They could harass you, which hopefully they don't, but there's a consequence for fucking over people that are paying you. The only election that matters to you is your local sheriff. Yeah, I actually largely agree with that. And this is kind of why I depart with a lot of libertarians who are always fucking, oh my God, all these cops are bastards. Listen, I've told this story so many times, but it bears repeating. In 2020, when Ian Smith had defied the lockdown orders and booted down the door to his own business, to gain access to his own business, which I was in, which was really, really cool. You're going to tell me that his sheriff, who stood in front of all of those people and said, technically, you guys are all in violation of federal law and in defiance of the New Jersey stay-at-home order. With that, have a good day. And he left. You're going to tell me that guy's a bastard? That's what I got to say. Sorry, we're not gonna live in Ancapistan anytime soon. No matter who you vote for, they're gonna bail out the big banks. They're gonna send lots of money over to Israel. They're gonna send lots of money to Ukraine. They're gonna send lots of money to Taiwan. They're probably gonna send the people that, you know, our future children off the war to fight in wars. They're gonna enrich big banks and big arms contractors and defense contractors and think tanks. Shit's probably also gonna happen. So what can you do? You can support Defend the Guard, which I actually really, really support. Buddy, Liam McCollum has been leading the charge there, and I know that's starting to pick up some steam, but really, there isn't that much you could do about it. I mean, I love talking geopolitics just because that topic really, really fascinates me, but like at the end of the day, there really isn't that much you could do. I mean, as sad as it is. Yeah, sooner or later, if you don't vote for Harris, you're, oh, yeah, I'm sure. And, you know, this kind of goes to why I think if Trump debates Harris, I think that's actually a losing proposition for him, which a lot of people are going to disagree with me on that. And I know people are all for it. And look, I would love to see it too, because Trump is his best when he's debating people, because he's quick on his feet. He's not as quick as he used to be because he's getting old. I get it. Being president for 4 years will beat the fuck out of anybody. There isn't a single president probably in anybody's lifetime or in history that didn't fucking get worn down by the fucking position. Like, if you look at Obama when he first got elected till when he left, fucking dude looked rough. But I think it's going to be similar to the Biden situation in 2020, where Trump is able, he's very good on the offensive, but his age and him starting to kind of reel back and be low energy Trump this election cycle, which he really has been, I think that plays to his benefit, because when you're running against somebody like Joe Biden, who is senile and incompetent, it's very easy to let them walk all over themselves and hang themselves, which is exactly what Joe Biden did in this most recent debate. And Trump actually getting cut off in that debate actually kind of worked in his favor, which I know that sounds very strange, but without him trampling over Biden like he did in 2020, that makes him look a lot more calm and in control. And I think people innately kind of trust that. When, I mean, once again, I've made no bones about it, I do think Trump is better than Biden and better than Kamala, but he's so far compromised on so many issues that I won't vote. But I think the mic muting worked in his favor. But when it comes to Kamala, the media is waiting for this. I know. And if people can't see this, I'm kind of surprised if you don't see this, but they are waiting for that moment where if Trump debates Kamala, it's going to be all over the news. Trump is a racist misogynist who's, trying to push over the first black Indian, whatever race woman president, right? We already kind of saw that with Hillary Clinton, but she was so unlikable that, like, it's kind of hard to pass her off, right? But where is the headline? Trump challenges black woman candidates' right to run. I mean, you're already starting to see that. I'm telling you, that's going to pick up. Sorry. But yeah, basically, if Trump debates Kamala, I think this is going to be really, really bad optics. And I understand why I didn't do the RNC debates with all the other candidates, because, you know, there was really only room for him to lose. I think this is going to be the same situation, especially because Kamala isn't doing any interviews or anything like that, because let's face it, if there's not a teleprompter or something like that, she kind of falls apart. She can read a teleprompter and kind of fake the accent all right, but if she's got to be pushed on anything, you can't really defend the last 4 years. And then I don't know how you can get away with saying that you're going to do all this stuff when you've been in for the last 4 years. But I mean, once again, the same criticism applies to Trump. He was in for 4 years, and then we heard releasing the JFK files, abolishing the Department of Education. Lots of good stuff I largely agree with. If you listen to Wednesday's episode, I largely agree with a lot of the Trump Agenda 47. But this kind of goes back to the idea that, like, we're acting like this is like 2016 all over again, where Trump wasn't already president and then failed to do everything that he said he was going to do. I agreed with, really, when he was campaigning in 2016, he was spot on in like the apps, like so much stuff. B, take care. I will see you next Tuesday. Thanks so much, B, for the gift and a membership and becoming a new member. Thanks so much, brother. I completely lost my train of thought there. Oh yeah. 2016. I largely agreed with Trump's platform, and he was right about a lot of stuff, but then once again, as soon as he got in, just pivot. But it's like when you hear him campaigning, it's like we're just supposed to believe that he's just, you know, this time's going to be any different. I'm not really convinced, but I completely am sympathetic and understand the argument that, hey, you know, these last 4 years have been so bad, understandable, that we have to vote for Trump. I completely sympathize with that argument. I get it. I don't want to say I disagree, but like, I just don't think there's no fucking putting this genie back in the bottle. Like, things are going to continue to get worse. And unless there's a dramatic restructuring in our economy, the way that we deal with money, entitlements, everything, which Trump's, you're running on defending entitlements, we're headed down a pretty bad path. And even with the war stuff, I mean, Trump won't touch Israel. I mean, he's bought off by the Adelson family, and Kamala's not any different. Like, to see all these people saying that Kamala's like anti-Semitic or something like that, are you fucking kidding me? First of all, her husband's Jewish, and then she was considering Josh Shapiro, and they're saying, oh, well, she couldn't pick him because he's Jewish. No. She picked Walls because Walls has this appearance of being like the friendly uncle, I think. And then even Daniel Larrison, which I read this article a couple podcasts ago, where they're kind of accrediting him for being like anti-war, which to me is just absolutely ridiculous because he never really had any meaningful stances and he always wanted to send more money overseas. Don't think it's a very strong case, but I think Daniel Larrison was probably just trying to make the most optimistic case, which, okay, whatever you got to do, but it's weird. Like I don't have any solutions, man. We are fucked. That's not a popular thing because to tell you to vote for one person or another, yeah, that could sell, but telling you you're fucked and you might as well brace for impact. Not really much you can do that. It's kind of in your own hands at that point, but you know, what else can I tell you? I'm not here to fucking provide you solutions. I'm just here to entertain you and hopefully provide you with some information that makes your life a little bit better, right? Hopefully I don't give you any of these set imaginary battles, but yeah, man, it's kind of fucked up. We're in a bad position. So, you know what? I want to read this because I'm really digging Bukele. Where is it? El Salvador is not only the safest country in the Western Hemisphere, but we also, let me move this. We also guarantee that you won't be arrested, censored, or have your assets seized for or seized for exercising your right to free speech. And there's no property tax. I'll tell you what, man, I'm all about fucking Bukele. He lowered the murder rate from 6 in 1,000 to like 3 in 1,000 in a matter of like a couple of years. It's now like one of the fucking cleanest and nicest countries in the world. I'm digging it, man. That's what we need. I wish Trump was that guy. Maybe Vance is. And like, I have my criticisms of Vance, but like, maybe Vance is the dude that will fucking run some Bukele shit. And, you know, that's still not, I'm not convinced, but, you know, we'll see. I kind of feel like Bukele is going to be a little bit more the bad cop and Trump's going to be the good cop. Dave Smith did a podcast where he said Trump is shook. I don't think it's that. He's praising the Secret Services. He's been doing lots of like kind of running to the center of this election where basically it's all about trying to get the votes of people who aren't already going to vote for him, because he already knows like a lot of the general white working class people, they're going to go for him no matter what, which is understandable. He's running a DEI campaign now, which a lot of people are saying that, you know, Kamala Harris is the DEI pick. But I mean, let's be honest here. Trump is saying basically, if you don't vote for me, you ain't Jewish. It's Michael Tracy says. And then, you know, he's talking about how much he did for the Black and Latina communities. Like, give me a fucking break, man. Those people already aren't going to vote for you. Pandering them ain't going to do anything else for you. And my brother, Jack Napier, how you doing, man? Good morning. Let me run an ad real quick and we'll continue on. All right, guys, we are going to take a quick break from the show to tell you about the show's sponsor. We are now brought to you by Fox and Sons Coffees. You can see right here, I got the Den Blend Dark. Really enjoy that. I've been drinking a lot of their Brazil Honey Prep. Right here, as you can hear, there's not a lot of beans left in it because I've been drinking it quite a bit. Just to tell you a little bit about Fox and Sons, why I support them and why you should too, is that Stephen had started the company up in Michigan to help teach his son about entrepreneurship. I'm all about that, and I do firmly believe that in order to spread liberty in our lifetimes, we have to support those who support similar values as us. And Stephen does support all the same libertarian values that I bring and talk about on the show a lot. So go to foxandsons.com, use code Kyle at checkout to get 15% off of orders $25 or more. And there's always free shipping whenever you place an order that is more than $37.99. Find their coffee. All right, I'll finish it there. But yeah, so like another imaginary battle that we're hearing all about now, and this kind of goes to what Jack and I talk about quite a bit on Post Zero and whatnot. But talking about women in the abstract, which this... That, yeah, I do have hair in that ad. I'm telling you, ever since I started shaving my head, I don't think I'll ever go back. Hair's fucking overrated, man. I am perfectly good with shaving my head. I bought a $40 head shaver, and man, I fucking love it. So convenient. But talking about women in the abstract, when you see guys online talking about, oh, all the women this, all the women that, okay, well, have you gone outside and talked to any? No? Okay. And I think Jack talked about this with Rob when they were talking about the whole seed oil thing, where it's like, do you got the basics down? Are you lifting a couple times a week? Are you less sedentary than you were? You know, are you avoiding hyperpalatable foods? You know, what does all that look like? If it's in all pretty, you know, if you don't have that shit in line, then what the fuck are you doing worried about seed oils? What the fuck are you doing worried about the flora in the water? Like, that's like the 2%. And really, the seed oils isn't even anything to be worried about. But that's the 2%. Like, the 98% is work out, try to sleep the best you can, try to avoid hyperpalatable foods, and just do that shit consistent and be consistent with all that stuff. That's like the vast, vast, vast majority of exercise and wellness, or of health and wellness. What makes a good shaver? You know what? I think I looked at the two that had the most amount of positive reviews on Amazon, and I went with the cheaper of the two. I think the one that I got had like 7,000 reviews. The most expensive, or the one that was more expensive, was like $10 more. It had like 15,000 reviews that were positive. So I just figured, okay, I'll bite the bullet on like $10 and, or go $10 cheaper for a little bit of a cheaper one, but still had overwhelmingly positive reviews. Yeah, I used to have, I was having my wife shave my head every single last Sunday morning. So I would take the buzzer to it, and then she'd take a razor to it. Having the head shaver is nice because now I don't have to worry about that. I can just do it myself. I was doing it once a week, but man, my fucking hair grows fast as fuck now. So I'm not like completely bald. My hair isn't completely receding, but as you could see in the ad, I am losing it a little bit. It's a little bit thinner up top, but you know what? I'm good with wearing hats or being bald. I really don't give a shit anymore. I'll be 30 here in a couple months. And you know what, if I got to look 38, so be it. But, you know, like when it comes to the seed oils, the fluoride in the water and shit like that, it is mostly an imaginary battle. Like, if you don't have the major bricks laid down, stop worrying about that shit. The reason why people are telling you that is because generally they want you to pay attention to their content. Once again, it goes back to, if I can give you anxiety, if I can make you feel a certain way, then I can keep getting you to click on the content and keep coming back and back and back and back for more and more and more. Right? I don't want to do that. My goal is, hopefully I can give you the information and you could decide what to do to make your life better. Give you the tools and you can decide if you want to burn your fucking house down or if you want to build a castle to the sky that looks like a giant dick or something like that. I don't know. The best shave is when your wife does it for you. yeah, I mean, she generally gets all the spots, but like the head shaver for me, it's nice because I just kind of run it across my head. And like, it's amazing. Technology is fucking fantastic. And this goes back to the beginning of the show where I was talking about all the wonderful blue collar people that kind of make our life or our lives possible. But to have like a little head shaver where like you could take it apart and the hair's all in there, it doesn't go everywhere. And then, you know, you just plug it in, charge it, and then you're good to go. Like, something about that's fantastic. Like, what the fuck did people do hundreds of years ago? Did they just grow out the fucking skull and let it go? I don't fucking know. Like, when I see clean shaven people in movies from like thousands of years ago, I'm like, how did they shave? Like, when did shaving start? I know that's a completely separate tangent, but I always kind of wondered that. Like, man, I feel like that had to fucking hurt because they probably didn't have like shaving cream or anything. When was soap invented? Like, do you just smell like shit and have like long hair at all times because you just couldn't cut it? I don't fucking know. But yeah, don't listen to fucking people who are constantly fucking blackpilling you. Yeah, people may tell me or say that I blackpill about the state of politics, but I'm just telling you the truth as I see it. If that makes me a bullshitter, if that makes me a communist or a socialist or a fascist, okay, whatever. Go away. That's fine. Unsubscribe. Do whatever. I'm good with it. I'm not here to tell you what to do or what not to do. I'm here to give you some information and provide you some entertainment. But yeah, I think that's all I got for this show. Shave pilled. Yes. Yes. Abso-fucking-lutely. I'm all about it, man. I was too much of a pussy to just take all, or I, you know, for the longest time to just fucking shave it. If you look back at some of the older podcasts, I recovered some of my hairline with minoxidil and ketoconazole and a micro roller, but nah, man, fuck it. We're running bald now. I'm accepting my genetics. My dad made it longer than I did. My dad will be actually, he turned 55 last month, but he made it a lot longer than I did when it came to the hair stuff. I gave up. I tapped sooner, so I'm good with it. Everybody that seen my bald ass said that I have a good head or a good shaped head for it. So fuck it, I'm running with it. But yeah, so Pose Zero is going to be on Jack's channel. You know what? He dropped by in the chat. Make sure you go over to his channel and check that out. We're talking about reconnaissance. It'll be a good chat for sure. I don't know who's all going to be there, but I know it'll be me and Jack. So go check that out. acommoncrown.com. I promise you guys, I'm going to do my best to make sure that we have The Fringes, which is a new song that we've been playing out. I'm going to do my damnedest to make sure we get that out to you guys before the end of the year. Cognitive Vigilance Thursday nights. I don't know. Actually, no, I think we do have a show this week. I forget who Brandy got, but yeah, there's going to be a show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time Thursday night, 5 till midnight tomorrow night with the boys. And this Wednesday, I think I have Fiorella Isabel coming on the show Wednesday. And then I have a couple ideas for a guest next week. But Labor Day weekend, Tiger Fitness sale, and the Ron Paul Institute. If you are going to the Ron Paul Institute, please DM me and let's meet up. I'll be there with my buddy Pat McFarlane, who's been on the show a bunch of times, and my buddy Ben Heckman. Really looking forward to that. It's going to be an awesome time. If you're going to the Ron Paul Institute, I will see you there. That's going to be Saturday down in DC at the Washington Dulles Airport Hotel. It's going to be fucking awesome time. So I'm really looking forward to that. Hopefully I meet some of you guys there. Other than that, I think that's it. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And until next time, take care.